You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
Wednesday, May 1st, May Day. Happy May Day to all our commie listeners out there. Big day in North Korea, big day in Columbia University. Although it was a tough night last night. The occupation has ended. The struggle is real. They carted off. Let me get the number. Let's see. If you missed all the action last night, the NYPD moved in. They went in through a window. It was mostly peaceful. They arrested 109 at Columbia, 173 at City College, where they raised the Palestinian flag, took down the American flag right in the heart of our biggest city. The NYP did an amazing job last night. If you were watching, they went in full force. The president, Shahid, finally called in the cops. And they ended it in a matter of minutes. They went in at 9:30 p.m. They arrested all the scumbags who were occupying Hamilton Hall, that renamed it Hines Hall after a Palestinian boy. These brave warriors, though, these resistance fighters, they couldn't take it much longer. They were in the building for, what would that be, about 8 hours, and they were hungry. They were starving. They were dehydrated. So they probably were welcoming the cops. It was time to go. We have a new face of the resistance, I must say. Our friend Kamani James, the 20-year-old punk from Boston, non-binary punk, who wants to kill all Zionists. He was out front for days. He led the blockade, by the way. When they broke in the building, he was leading the group who were blockading the doors, breaking the windows. He was banned from campus, but he was there breaking windows and kicking in doors. I'm sure today's the day Ayanna Pressley will address this, because Kamani is her protege and her good friend, former student member of the Boston School Committee, graduate of Boston Latin. Haven't heard anybody asked about this little brat here in Boston, but maybe they'll get to that. But here on the screen, if you're watching along, is Johanna King Slutsky. She became the spokesman. She's got her scarf, her Hamas scarf, and she came out. Somehow she got out of the building, even though all the doors were blockaded, and she spoke to the media just to give you a sense of the kind of people who are disrupting things on college campuses. I know there's outside agitators. I know there's Antifa guys. I know everybody is well-funded from George Soros and from foreign governments. We know they all have matching tents and plenty of food in those encampments, but apparently they didn't bring any food in with them into the Hamilton Hall. So they had to call for the school, Columbia, to feed them. Yes, they occupied the building, which includes the admissions office, by the way, and a dean's office. And they did it violently. They broke windows. It was a night of broken glass in Columbia. But by yesterday afternoon, the kids were hungry. So they sent Johanna King Slutsky, a 34-year-old PhD student and instructor. Again, we remind you, there's no mystery here. What has gone wrong on our campuses? It's pretty clear. The leaders, the teachers, you know, the mentors are just as radical, just as anti-Semitic, just as anti-American as the students, if you send your kid to Columbia, this is who your kid is going to learn from. And by the way, why would anyone do that at this point? Why would anyone send their child to Columbia? Not just Jewish kids. I don't care if you're Jewish or not, or if you're an engineering student or a sociology student, a gender studies student. This is who's going to be teaching your children. People who hate America, people who hate Jews. The problem is not just students, just these disillusioned morons. The problem is the people instructing them. They're radicals. I mean, real radicals, Antifa radicals that wear Hamas scarves and vow to bring death to America. Let's learn more about Johanna, the 34-year-old PhD student and instructor who came out to speak to the media. This is hilarious. Her dissertation, PhD dissertation, this is from her own biography, is on fantasies of limitless energy in the transatlantic romantic imagination from 1760 to 1860. My goal is to write a prehistory of metabolic rift, Karl Marx's term for the disruption of energy circuits caused by industrialization under capitalism. I am particularly interested, she writes, in theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens in order to update and propose an alternative to historicist ideological critiques of the romantic imagination. Prior to joining Columbia, I worked as a political strategist for leftist and progressive causes and remained active in higher education labor movements. This is who is teaching and who's, and don't forget, this is whose loans we are paying. If you're heading to work or if you're heading home from work, just know a portion of your paycheck will go to pay the tuition of this vile human being. All right, we're going to hear from Johanna King Slutsky. Let's hear from Jonah King Slutsky, the spokesman for the resistance. Go ahead.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they put themselves in that.
Basic humanitarian aid they want. She wants them to provide food and water so they don't die of heat dehydration. Now, this, I'm not sure exactly what time this was, but again, the whole thing lasted 8 hours. This was about 5 or 6 hours into the occupation. I'm just going to guess a building like this at the heart of an Ivy League institution, I'm going to guess there's lots of food and water in the building, candy machines and water and drink machines, but they actually had to airlift. They had a rope with a milk crate full of food and a pizza. They had to airlift the pizza to these brats who were up on the balcony with face masks. It looked a lot like Munich. And when they took Israelis hostage and killed them, that's, I guess, the image they were looking to portray. Well, it was a few hours after they were demanding food and water and humanitarian aid. You break into a building, you hold janitors hostage, and then you demand humanitarian aid. God, these people are just out of their minds. They're so disillusioned and demented. And again, I think we know how we got to this point. I think we know the problem. We know these students, you know, the sophomores and freshmen, didn't just one day wake up and say, I think I'm going to be a revolutionary. I'm going to be a rebel. They're not revolution. They're not rebels. They agree with the people in power. They agree with the professors. They agree with the administrators, the president. They agree with their congresspeople, AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. They agree with the media. The power structures are on their side, which is one reason they felt emboldened, because they know there'll be no price to pay. They arrested, as I said, 282 of them last night, and they're all back on the street. There's no bail in New York. The charges will be dismissed. They know it. They said as much when they were interviewed. They said this. Most of them have been arrested many times. They don't care. They get a parking ticket. They get booked, and they get released to do it again. It's New York City. There's crime is legal. Certain kinds of crime are legal. You're not allowed to falsify business records from a affair you had 20 years ago, but you're allowed to break windows, kick in doors, occupy buildings, assault Jewish kids. That's cool. We're okay with that. And it's happening everywhere. We'll get to some of the other campuses, but we have to play this interview with another brave resistance fighter. I think it's Lawrence Jones from Fox News. He gets one of them to talk. Most of them, no, they don't want to talk. They don't want to show their faces. They don't want you to know who they are, because they don't want mommy and daddy to see them, and they don't want this on their permanent record. That's one of the demands they make at all these campuses. Amnesty. They don't want any consequences for their actions. They're like spoiled children. They want to act out. They want to kick and scream, and they don't want to pay any price. That's the difference between, you know, real protesters or real renegades and revolutionaries like Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela. They know there'll be no prison time. They know there's two standards here. If they were wearing red MAGA hats, they'd be rotting in prisons. But they're cool. They got the same garb as, you know, terrorists in the Middle East. So they're good. But this is amazing. Listen to this person. Here's the other problem we have. They're not just misguided and disillusioned. They're really stupid. They don't think anything happened on October 7th. They don't understand what's going on in Israel, in Gaza. They don't know. They don't care. This is just the latest thing. They, you know, we've been through the George Floyd riots, been through climate change protests, and this is the latest thing that gives purpose to lost souls with empty lives. They put on a mask, they belong to a group, and they feel like they're fighting the man. It's just the opposite. They're supporting the man, and the man is supporting them. Listen to this fool.
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now?
I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back.
So this is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that it's actually factual now that the janitorial workers were blocked inside of the building. And anytime you bring that up, the Jewish cause, the Jewish people, the kids that feel unsafe on campus, they deny the reality of it, guys.
That's it. They deny the reality of it. They don't care. They just feel like they belong to something, you know, a movement here. It's amazing how dumb Ivy League students are. Again, we've gone over this. All the applicants who try to get into Columbia, 4% get in. We've heard from many of them, including Kamani James. They're stupid. They didn't get in because of their grades or their SAT scores. They got in because they are fellow travelers with the administration, with the admissions office. They want these people. They want radicals, anti-Semites, anti-American scum. That's who they want in their school so they can indoctrinate them. I mean, the people, every time you see one of these idiots, think of the people who didn't get in, you know, the Asian kid with this 800 SAT scores and the straight A's. He doesn't get in because he doesn't hate Israel. He's trying to learn. The Columbia will never, I shouldn't say never, it's going to be a while before Columbia recovers from this. They're losing money from big benefactors like Bob Kraft, and they're losing their reputation. Columbia is gone, and Harvard, many of these places, Northwestern, Northeastern, they're gone too. They're taking a huge hit here. People are getting a look behind the curtain at what's really going on at these indoctrination factories. Let's do a quick rundown. This was just yesterday. Here's what happened on your college campuses. I'm going to go through this quickly. We have some of the sound and we can get to it. But at the University of Wisconsin, where they're rising up right now as we speak, hopefully they're arresting them, but there were chants of Heil Hitler and go back to the gas chambers from the rioters. At Penn State, a Jewish woman with a Palestinian flag said, a protester with a Palestinian flag said, Jewish women are, quote, too ugly to rape. That's when she was confronted with the reality of October 7th. At UNC, University of North Carolina, they removed the flag, U.S. flag, and put up the Palestinian flag in the middle of campus in North Carolina. By the way, a bunch of frat boys made sure the U.S. flag didn't touch the ground and put it back up. At the University of Washington, they yelled, bring back the gas chambers. Yeah, good. Nothing wrong with that. At Northwestern, they made their demands. They occupied a building and demanded more Palestinian students and faculty, including scholarships for Palestinian students. And the administration said they would agree to that. So they're going to get more people who hate Jews. And at the University of North Carolina, I want to play this video because this was the most disturbing one of them all. At University of North Carolina, they had the showdown with the cops. And the punks, the protesters, just abused the cops. Here's a white kid. White kid with a mask on, of course, just dousing a big black cop with water. Because, you know, the cop, you know, he has a lot to do with the war in Gaza. And the cop, for some reason, doesn't do anything. Here, I hope everybody sees this. This is who we're talking about. This is the kind of entitled brat, just disrespectful punk. Play it.
What I can tell you is that this is a very intense escalation from how it has been for the past several hours. There was a rally and silent vigil for Palestine.
The cop just stands there. Why is he not wrestling this punk to the ground? I don't know if you can see right now. 98% of America is on your side, officer. And if he took this kid and threw him to the ground and hogtied him, they would be 100% behind you, not them. I'm so glad we get cameras everywhere. And last night, while you were sleeping, all hell broke loose at UCLA. The cops were nowhere to be found. Okay, enough of that, Ironhead. Stop. We saw him throw the water on the cop. Are you with me this morning? Did you drink your Callahan coffee? Or are you nodding off like Trump in court?
I drank my Callahan coffee. I was just having a background noise.
Wake up. Last night, wild scenes at UCLA. Just wild. I like this. Little vigilante justice. Well, you want to know what precipitated this? A Jewish girl got knocked unconscious. Just cold-cocked and knocked unconscious. Because, you know, little Jewish kids in California, you know, they have a lot of responsibility for the war in Gaza. You know, I could see why you'd be angry at her. So she gets knocked unconscious. There's no video, I don't think. of the actual assault, but they are, they, you could see her unconscious on the ground and they're trying to revive her. Well, the pro-Israel side, we'll call them, had had enough and they went to the encampment and they kicked ass and the and we have like drone video. I don't know if it's helicopter video. There's all kinds of video and no cops in sight. This is what happens when you don't enforce the law. This is what happens when you have a hell, not just administration, a mayor, a governor who support the protesters, who support the anti-Semites, the good people take action, take matters into their own hands. We're watching right now. It's just, it looks like some kind of movie, like that new movie, Civil War.
It's actually brutal.
People have had enough. Yeah. They have sticks. They're swinging sticks. They're just cold cocking people. They're kicking ass. And I support them 100%. If you're not going to, the cops aren't going to do their job. If they're not going to be allowed to do their job, someone's going to do it. This is just the natural order of things. I don't know if it's still going on. This was, you know, 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah.
But this is what's going to happen if you're not going to enforce the law. This is the campus where they wouldn't allow Jewish kids to go to class. This was ground zero, at least on the West Coast. And the good people had had enough. I don't know the number of injuries, but there had to be a few. It looks like we're watching a few people get hurt. And
putting up plywood barriers like that's going to do anything.
just smacking people with these boards. Hey, you know, they've had enough. They don't want them. They don't want these anti-Semites blocking people from going to campus, going to class. Sickening.
I don't know about you, Jerry,
but this was all going on. What did we hear from the president of the United States?
Nothing.
This is, I know I harp on this and talk about it every day, but it is seriously a national disgrace that we have an administration. We have a president. Now, granted, he's 81 years old. He's in the throes of dementia. He's a feeble, pathetic puppet who is just bowed down to the far left, to the squad, to the radicals in his party. But he's a no-show. He's MIA. Donald Trump, after spending all day in court in the middle of the Columbia showdown where the cops are going into the building, he called in to Sean Hannity and pointed out that this is a disgrace. And he pointed out Israel should go into Hamas and go into Gaza and wipe out Hamas. I mean, he said what most decent Americans say, that's leadership. And Joe Biden is nowhere. You know what he's doing today? Nothing. He's got some one little reception, fundraiser reception, and that's it. He called a lid last night at 8:55. The cops moved in at 9:30. So you get nothing, not a word from the president of the United States as this violence is roiling from coast to coast. No leadership. And not just because he's old and feeble, because he's afraid it might cost him support among the radical left, among the voters of Dearborn, Michigan. Israel is going in. They may be there right now, going into Gaza to wipe out Hamas, as well they should. Will civilians die? Of course. And every single civilian death is the fault of Hamas. If Hamas didn't want any civilians to get hurt, they would hand over the hostages. They would surrender. Simple. That's what has to happen. If they don't and people die, it's on them. These people, I know they don't understand. I know they're stupid. They're probably stoned. But they're not going to win this. Israel's going to win this. The good is going to win this. Evil is going to lose. They're supporting evil. They're supporting the people who killed children on October 7th, who killed and raped corpses on October 7th. Those are their guys. They're going to lose, and it's going to be glorious, and I'm going to be 100% supporting Israel in their fight. It's just amazing. Today, Donald Trump is in Wisconsin. He's going to be in Waukesha, the site of that slaughter at the Christmas parade. by this racist, murderous, evil man. Joe Biden's never gone to Waukesha. He never went after that because it didn't fit his narrative. But Trump will be there. Good move, smart move. And Joe Biden will be napping, or he'll be wherever, he'll be watching cartoons. I'm not sure what he's going to do, but it's going to get much, much worse before it gets better for Joe Biden, for the squad, for the far left anti-Semitic people in Congress.
I don't know.
We'll tell you why. Things are going to get worse in Gaza.
They have bodyguards that look like that. You can get whatever you want.
This 34-year-old PhD student, by the way, I think she's Jewish too. She is just despicable. Ugh. Anyway, we got to get to this. We're building a pier in Gaza with U.S. troops who are now in harm's way. They're within aim of Hamas terrorists in Gaza. What could go wrong? And what's the response from the Biden administration to all this chaos? How about this? We bring in millions of Gazan refugees, millions of Palestinians who hate Jews, hate America, and support these protests. That's the plan. That's the plan going forward. Can't wait. We'll get to that and more, but first. Have you heard about Senolytics yet? It's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. Your life goals in your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Senolytic. As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and discomfort, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy associated with that middle-age feeling. We all know that feeling. They block nutrients from our healthy cells, but Qualia Senolytic prunes senescent cells away from your healthy cells. Take it just 2 days a month. The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and has a money-back guarantee. Qualia Senolytic has helped me be more productive and enthusiastic with fewer aches and pains day to day. To try Qualia Senolytic, go to neurohacker.com/newsmax for up to $100 off and use code word newsmax at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/newsmax and use promo code newsmax.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
All right, this has been overshadowed by the events here domestically, by the protests and by the chaos on college campuses. But this happened yesterday. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, the guy who, you know, took 2 weeks off and didn't tell anybody. He went before Congress, and Matt Gaetz, who is great at this, great at just grilling witnesses, had some questions for Lloyd Austin about the pier. Now, if you don't know about the pier, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure most mainstream outlets aren't covering it, at least not giving it much attention. But we're building a pier in Gaza because they don't have one, because they spend all their money on tunnels and weapons. Gaza should be a jewel on the Mediterranean. It should be Dubai. It should be Hong Kong. It should be a thriving place. They get money just given to them by the West, by the US, by Europe, and they spend it on weapons. They spend it on terror. So since they don't have a suitable pier, we're going to build one. We're going to spend $320 million to build a pier to bring them more humanitarian aid, you know, because we're facilitating genocide. That's what you do when you're trying to genocide a race of people. You build a pier to bring them in more humanitarian aid. Anyway, who's building the pier? We are. American soldiers, 1,000 soldiers are on duty now putting this pier together off the coast of Gaza. They've already taken a shot or two at us. Matt Gaetz just wanted to know, are we allowed to fire back? And he had another question. Do boots on the ground count as, I mean, boots on the pier count as boots on the ground? I would say so. I mean, it's a pier. So the fact is, we already have boots on the ground in Gaza, and they're in harm's way. They're in within rocket range of Hamas terrorists who want to kill us. This is the plan. This is the plan to win votes in Dearborn, Michigan. Put U.S. soldiers within range of Hamas in order to deliver humanitarian aid. Listen to this.
Ms. Lotkin just said there'll be about 1,000 U.S. service members operating a pier system off of Gaza. How many of them will have guns, Mr. Secretary?
Well, typically all of the deployed service members carry guns, and they have the ability to protect themselves if challenged.
So if someone from land in Gaza shoots at our service members who are on the $320 million pier that we're building, you're telling me our service members can shoot back?
They have the right to return fire to protect themselves. Now,
well,
now
do we
again,
think that's like? So now I want to move to the likelihood that you think someone from land in Gaza might shoot at our service members on this pier. Do you think that that's a likely scenario?
That's possible. Yes.
This is a very telling moment, Mr. Secretary, because you've said something that's quite possible that could happen, right? Shots from Gaza on our service members, and then the response, our armed service members shooting live fire into Gaza. That is a possible outcome here so that we can become the Port Authority and run this pier. Right?
That's correct. You know, I expect that we will always
Don't
have the ability to protect ourselves.
Don't you think that counts as boots on the ground? President Biden told the country that we weren't going to have boots on the ground in Gaza.
And we won't.
Okay, but you guys parse the distinction between, like, when Americans think boots on the ground, they think Americans in harm's way or engaged actively in a conflict. You guys seem to be sort of saying that boots on a pier connected to the ground, connected to service members shooting into Gaza, doesn't count as boots on the ground?
It does not.
I think you're going to find the American people have a different perspective on that. And if we're going to have people shooting into Gaza, we probably should have a vote on that pursuant to our war powers.
That is amazing. They're there now. 1,000 U.S. soldiers in harm's way just to help Joe Biden's reelection chances. And I ask this every day, but where's Egypt? Where's Jordan? Where's Saudi Arabia? Why are these countries not doing what we're, you know, 5,000 miles away? Why are we the world's humanitarian aid here? Why can't they do that? Which brings us to the next brilliant plan from the Biden administration, and that is absolutely not going to go well. Let me see if I can get the, it's again, hard to get details on this. But as we all know, we've been overrun with the illegal aliens. We know Joe Biden opened the southern border. We've had, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 million illegal aliens. We see the carnage every day, the crime. We see them overrunning cities, put up in four-star hotels, three meals a day, same-day dry cleaning. That's another problem Joe Biden has, because if they don't vote for him in this election, he will lose. They're hoping they'll vote in the next election or the one after that. They're hoping for a permanent Democrat majority through a change in demographics. That's clear. That's criminal. Joe Biden should be impeached for this, but he's not going to stop. I mean, anytime he talks about the border or Mayorkas talks about the border, they're lying. They want it open. We know that now. Well, it's going to get worse before they get better. This is from CBS. Do we have the report from CBS, or do you want me to just read the story?
I don't think there was sound.
Go back to sleep. I'll read the story. The Biden administration is considering bringing certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees, a move that would offer a permanent safe haven to some of those fleeing war-torn Gaza. According to internal memos obtained by CBS, the documents show senior officials across federal U.S. agencies have discussed the practicality of different options to resettle Palestinians from Gaza who have family members in America or are permanent residents. We're talking millions of Gazans not going in to Egypt or Jordan or Saudi Arabia or anywhere else. Europe, we're talking bringing them directly to the U.S. Now, we know one thing about Gazans. They hate Israelis. They hate Jews. We kind of have a little anti-Semitic problem in this country right now. Here's how we're going to solve it. We're going to bring in millions of people whose lives revolve around hating Israel and hating America, too, by the way. This is who the Biden administration wants to put in a four-star hotel near you. Let's go back 23 years. How do they react to 9/11? You know, the worst terror attack on this country where Muslim terrorists killed 2,977 Americans, took down the towers. It was pretty devastating, this country, and pretty much everybody in this country was infuriated, disgusted. And we, you know, we said, this is going to change things. What the hell did it change? Since then, oh, you have to take your shoes off at the airport. That's true. But they don't do that at the border. Yes, you have to get a vaccine to keep your job, but unvaccinated people, unvetted people pour across the border every day. Well, that's going to get worse because of the war in Gaza. And somehow, some way, we're supposed to take the people who are displaced, who support Hamas. Google it. Any poll. Here's one. Let me get a quick poll here. According to the survey in March, that's a month ago, 2 months ago, March 10th, of 1,580 Palestinian adults in Gaza, 70% said they were satisfied with the role Hamas has played. They support October 7th. They support a terrorist organization. They want them ruling Gaza. Palestinian civilians are with Gaza. I mean, are with Hamas on this. The idea that they're these victims who are ruled by these oppressive, dictatorial madmen is wrong. They're with Hamas. And what are we going to do once they get displaced after Israel goes in to Gaza? We're going to take them in here. And by the way, if they're refugees, they get the full Zarnia. They get every benefit. They get food and hotels and work permits, not that they want them. They get money. That's the plan from the Biden administration. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If your express goal was to destroy America, you would do nothing different from what Joe Biden has done for the last 3 years. Nothing. Every move he makes, every executive action he takes is designed to truly to destroy America, to fundamentally transform this country. But before we move on, let's take a look back at how our new friends, our soon to be our new neighbors, reacted to the terrorist attack on 9/11. Go ahead, play it.
From the West Bank, these are Palestinian celebrations in the wake of Tuesday's terror attacks in the United States. Apparently, Palestinians took to the street chanting, God is great. People were throwing candy, distributing candy to passersby. The U.S. government obviously has become increasingly unpopular, particularly in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, because Palestinians feel that the U.S. government has sided with Israel. One man, Nawal Abdel Fattah, wearing a long black dress, threw sweets in the air, saying she was happy because, quote, America is the head of the snake. America always stands by Israel in its war against us. Meanwhile, Yasser Arafat emerged to speak with reporters.
So these people, they look like they just won the World Cup, celebrating in the streets, honking their horns, giving out candy because Muslim terrorists killed 3,000 Americans and destroyed, brought down the towers. Those are people Joe Biden and, by the way, every Democrat, Jamal Bowman, they've all said it. This is the solution. Bring them here. Bring them here. People who are never going to assimilate. They're never going to respect this country. our laws, our flag. They're going to burn our flag. They're going to be marching with the Columbia PhD students and chanting death to America, death to the Jews. That's who Joe Biden wants to import. How is, I know he's getting trounced in the polls. How is there a single American taxpayer still supporting this lawless Biden regime? It's just, it's mind-boggling to think that that's a plan for the president of the United States to say.
We were talking about it before the show. The sound's bad, but even Robert De Niro going out there and screaming
at
them.
That's true. Yeah, this is not good sound, but when you lose Robert De Niro,
who hates
Trump more than anybody, I think, but he's in New York, obviously, he's seeing these protests up close, and he just went off. Yeah, we go ahead and play it. It's hard to understand because the mic's not in his face, but he looks like Jimmy Conway, you know, after he gets the call that Joe Pesci got offed.
Yeah, he goes off and he gets in their face. So you kind of, it's kind of telling, and he kind of plays his hand here how he truly feels. Which,
go ahead, let's listen.
Talking nonsense, you gotta go home.
You gotta go home. They say they're gonna do it again, another October 7th. I don't want that. Really? Yeah. There are people in your city, you know, PhD students who want that. They want another October 7th, which is another thing we've heard repeatedly. They're celebrating October 7th in this country. This is not good for Joe Biden, not good for Democrats who, as we know, they all stand together, they stick together, and they don't step out of line and, you know, denounce people who are celebrating terror, celebrating murder. That's just insane, totally insane time. Speaking of which, insane time. We'll get to the kids, the heroes in West Virginia, those girls who refuse to play sports with boys. Mm-hmm. You're not going to believe this, but They're going to get crushed here, the girls, the heroes. And big story out of the White House. They're trying to get rid of KJP. And I think the lesson here is you can make a diversity hire. You can hire someone based strictly on immutable characteristics, based on race, sexuality. It's not so easy to fire them. KJP says, I'm not going anywhere. We'll get to that, but first.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. All right, they're going nuts at the University of Wisconsin as Trump heads to Wisconsin. And they're still skirmish, still mixing it up at UCLA. I think that's the new hotspot, UCLA. Mm-hmm. And the same in New York. The mayor's on their side, the college administrators, the governor. There's nobody in power. There's no adults to step in and say enough of this. And there's probably more anti-Semitism at UCLA than anywhere. They're just literally lashing out against Jewish kids, you know, for being Jewish. It's getting really ugly out there. But we will be keeping an eye on that. But let's get to KJP. As we know, KJP is utterly incompetent. She's, by the way, I think a Columbia grad. There's the result of a Columbia education. Look at that. Any video. Look at that blank stare. If not for DEI, she would be nowhere near the White House. She'd be nowhere near the Ivy League. She's just not smart. I hate to break it to you, but she's like Kamala Harris. She's bad for DEI. If this is the result of DEI, then DEI is not a good idea. If this is what happens when you hire based on race or based on sexuality, this is what you get: utter incompetence. And it's apparently come to the attention. I'm sure Joe Biden doesn't know. He's so clueless. But the people around him, you know, the people who control him, they have had enough of KJP, who apparently is not only dumb, but is not well prepared, like Kamala Harris. She doesn't do any homework. She doesn't read up. She brings the binder out, reads from it, but then she gets lost and she lies and just repeats and repeats and repeats.
Let me be clear.
A couple days ago, but it's picking up steam. Top aides to President Biden secretly hatched a plan to replace White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre by recruiting outside allies to nudge her out the door, the Post has learned. Jean-Pierre, who made history by becoming the first Black and openly gay person to hold a position, had developed the exasperating habit of reading canned answers directly from a binder to reporters at her briefings, offering what her superiors viewed as less than compelling pitch for the 81-year-old president as he readies for his reelection campaign. This apparently is being led by de facto White House communications chief, Anita Dunn. She's one of the puppeteers. It says, there were a number of people she asked to engage Karine, said one source. That includes former President Barack Obama. The source told the Post that Anita Dunn had claimed White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients knew about and supported the cloak and dagger scheme to push Jean-Pierre out. They get to the fact that she doesn't. Well, let me find him. She says, it's a very demanding job, and Anita and Jeff have had enough. They said she doesn't do any homework. I want to get to that part. Where she doesn't prepare for the job. Of course, she refused. I think it's Emily's List, this far left pro-abortion outfit, to try to hire her, to lure her away. And she said, she ain't going. She's not leaving. So she's going to stay there, knowing the president and the people who control him don't want her, don't like her. And she's going to continue to go out there and embarrass the administration, because she doesn't do any prep for the job.
I don't think she's never answered one single question without the binder. Like Kayleigh McEnany never looked at the thing and could tell you everything.
Kayleigh McEnany was facing a hostile press every day.
Right.
Hostile, questions every day from Jim Acosta and all the rest of these Biden surrogates. This woman has like one adversary. That'd be Peter Ducey. Everyone else loves her and supports her and helps her. I think some of them might be getting fed up because she brings nothing to the table.
We understand that prices, again, are too low.
that was yesterday, I believe. Prices are too low, says Karine Jean-Pierre. This is a daily occurrence. And you know what? She's not talented enough like Jen Psaki or Kayleigh McEnany to just land a TV gig. I mean, maybe MSNBC would hire her, but she would be terrible at that job, too. So they're trying to find a place, someone to pay her and give her a soft landing spot, but they're trying to get her out. And that's what happens when you make a bad DEI hire. It's not so easy to get rid of them, because they know if they dump her now, they'll be all, Joy Reid will be screaming. New York Times will be screaming, calling racist. So they don't want to do it, but All right. Before we're done, we have to get to this because we told you about the West Virginia girls, these heroes, high school kids, 13 and 14 years old. They're track. They're runners and track and field athletes in middle school. And they were forced to compete against a boy. And they said no. The boy's name is Becky Pepper Jackson, 13-year-old trans athlete.
It's a trans name if I ever heard one.
I know. Becky, a trans kid in West Virginia. And not sure where the adults are here, but so the girls said, we're not going to do it. And they went to the little circle that you go in for the shot put and dropped the stupid thing and said, we're not doing this. We're not going to indulge the fetish of one confused young boy. And you're thinking, good for them. Every time we talk about this, we say, why do the girls participate? Why do they do this? Why don't they just walk away? And, you know, we asked that with Leah Thomas, with the track kid and the multi-sport athlete up in Lynn, Mass, who was just hurting girls. We asked this every time, why don't the girls walk away? Well, these girls did. And I think we have our answer. Clarksburg, West Virginia. 5 middle schoolers who protested a transgender athlete's participation in track and field by forfeiting their shot put game have been banned from future meets. They've been banned from future track meets and all sports. They've been banned from school sports for not indulging this confused boy and playing along with his little fetish. And the adults at the, I want to get the, it's some school, the Harris Board of Education, Harris County Board of Education, banned these girls. Now, there's some uproar. The Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, launched a lawsuit on behalf of the girls against the Board of Education. And we'll see how it plays out. But there's your answer. 13-year-old girls, it's asking too much. It's not their job to right this ridiculous wrong. It's not their job to stand up to this insanity. This is for the adults. It's for the coaches, the parents, the Board of Education. They're the ones who are supposed to step in and say, enough of this, not kids. I mean, I'm sure these girls have their support. Hopefully their parents support them. Hopefully their coaches. But these hacks, these bureaucrats, just sold them out, sold them down the river because they won't play along. Good for them. Hopefully they get a lot of support. I think this thing might go to the Supreme Court. The U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals blocked West Virginia's ban on this. So West Virginia attempted to ban this farce, and the Circuit Court of Appeals blocked them. They're hoping it gets to the Supreme Court, and hopefully they do the right thing, and hopefully people in the community are supporting these girls who just have unbelievable courage. For 13-year-old kids, that is pretty bold, pretty brave. So good for them. Hope we'll follow this story, and hopefully they win out in the end, and this boy is forced, and he won the stupid shot put by, I don't know, like 10 feet or something. Hopefully he's forced to compete against other boys. I know that's a lot to ask for a bully like this, but hopefully his parents are ostracized and mocked and ridiculed, because they sure as hell should be. But
I think they're proud.
That will do it. Do I miss anything? Iron, any more violence, any more? Someone's going to die. It's coming. We know that.
There's going to be a gun at one of these. The only thing we didn't actually get to was the ugly Jewish woman comment.
The one who... I play this. This is at Penn State.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Can you imagine, again, if it were some other group, some black, gay, anything, any other group? It's fashionable now to hate Jews, to denigrate, to dehumanize Jewish people. I'm not much surprises me in Biden's America, but this surprises me, the level of anti-Semitism is disgusting, and it's everywhere. I mean, the majority of Americans don't support this, but man, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there supporting Hamas. Hamas is holding American hostages, at least five. American people have to sit and watch Hamas supporters from coast to coast while their loved ones are being held and tortured by the people who these scumbags are passionately supporting. Hell, they're emulating. They're wearing their garb. They killed Americans on October 7th. And the family members of the dead Americans have to sit there at night. Maybe they don't watch. Maybe they ignore it. Watch these people who are getting arrested, who are occupying buildings, who are rioting, who are assaulting cops in their support of the terrorist savages who killed their family members. Can't imagine just the heartbreak, the pain, the disappointment of the families of the Americans held in Gaza today. No Democrat even mentions them except John Fetterman. Biden doesn't care about them. He doesn't mention them. He's more concerned with voters in Dearborn, Michigan. But this, is this the one in Penn State?
Yeah, when Jewish women are too ugly to be.
I think she was at Penn State. You know, one of these protests. Let's watch. Listen to that hag.
That's insane.
That's a woman who's like 65 years old with a big Palestinian flag saying, when confronted with the reality of October 7th, Jewish women are too ugly to rape. Maybe with a condom, she says. That's a grown-up, an adult. It's not just some mush-minded, you know, kid at college, which is bad enough. That's one. I gave you all the examples. Oh, nothing much. Just Heil Hitler. Go back to the gas chambers. Oh, these people are just vile. It's truly
so
vile.
It's so wild because these same people are, you know, like the Me Too people.
Right.
And so then to say crap like that, it's weird.
That those are people that are hoping Trump gets sent to prison for an affair with a porn star 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, because Trump's, he's vulgar. But they will say, Jewish women are too ugly to rape. What the hell?
Yeah.
What is going on in this country?
Disgusting.
It's really, really sickening. But that will do it for today. Just another sickening day in Joe Biden's America. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.